It's Thursday, May 16th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous run tech podcast. This is show number 859, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our May GoDaddy special, use GoDaddy promo code GO32OFF1 to save 32%, or come over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy and get $2.49.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, I got a special deal for you. We're going to have a great contest. We heard something fantastic about YouTube. So what I want you to do is I want you to stop right now, pause the show, or load youtube.com/geeknews in a new window. Subscribe to my channel, youtube.com/geeknews. If you do that right now, you got a chance to win $100. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you here to the studios overlooking Greater Honolulu in Hawaii. Hey, everyone. How's everybody doing? And welcome to the show. I've got a great one lined up for you today, and we're kind of just going to start mixing it up a little bit at the beginning of the show, having a little fun, and I hope you guys are all strapped in and ready to go here. We're going to be looking for some new intros from the show, so if you think you can put something together that's fast, that's snappy, that is just got a little kick to it, send me your intro. Fire it over. Let's see if we can have a little fun during the intros. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second. But hey, give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. And of course, you're part of the Ohana, part of the family of listeners of this show. Thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the podcast. And we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out the website. And there's lots of great content up there. We've had lots of articles being put up. Jeffrey Powers, of course, you guys know Jeffrey over at geekazine.com. He's writing for the site again. So he's putting stuff up. The latest edition of the Gadget Professors online. We've got some product review. I'm pretty familiar with this product review done by Andrew about the Trent IMP120D, that's external battery review. That's up. And we got some stuff up here about a new live NAS, and we've got stuff up about Twitch, and of course, Robot Underpants, Langley and the gang doing their thing, which is outstanding. Roku updates and stuff. So lots of stuff on Geek News Central itself. So make sure you get over to the website. And when you're over there, get subscribed to the show. That is really the key. Subscribe via iTunes or your podcatcher. We're on all the devices and all the directories. If you don't find us somewhere, let me know. We'll get that corrected for sure. But get subscribed, either audio or video. It doesn't matter, just as long as you're subscribed. The newsletter is something, too, that we want you to get hooked up with. And really, all you got to do is click on the newsletter link on the website and subscribe to it. And that's going to get you all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately found the show. If you don't want email, gncshownotes.com is where all the email is. Where all the show notes are at. So definitely check that out. You can always watch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, via the Tech Podcast channel. And of course, the best way to reach out to the show is by Twitter at Geek News. Email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you to use at your pleasure. So definitely consider firing us over a line, and we definitely want to hear from you. So of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network here. If it's tech, it's here, and techpodcast.com, 140. Family safe show, so definitely go over to Tech Podcast and check out all those shows. We're up on live stream live tonight, and it's late here. We're getting about a 30-minute late head start. Fought the traffic all the way back from downtown tonight. My son's soccer practice got done at exactly 6:18. My daughter, who is well on her way to her 60 hours of driving, drove us home and bumper to bumper traffic, and I'm just like looking at my watch and can't say go faster Because, you know, she's got a learner's permit. And, you know, if it's me, it's like the speedometer's in a section that it probably shouldn't be at. But her, I have to let her drive in the legal limit. So I'm just chomping a bit because I know tick tock, the show's got to go on. And I had all the stuff prepped. All I had to do was just kind of get everything fired up. And actually, I had time for a shower and time for dinner. So this is amazing. An hour and a half from walking in the front door to being able to rock and roll here. But I tell you, you guys know my, you know, just one of the things before a show, I don't know what it is, but it's a shower and a toothbrush. Got to do it. It's just a way to start the show off. So I want to thank all of you for letting me indulge here a little bit. But hey, let's take care of a little business here. Hey, want to thank our good friends over at GoDaddy. I'm going to tell you, GoDaddy is a mainstay of this show. And I need you to go out and pick up a domain name at $2.49. Or figure out what type of product you need over there where you can save 32% this month, a new product. Use those two codes. It's going to save you a lot of money. It's going to help me out here at the show. And really, to find more information about our GoDaddy deals, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or click on the GoDaddy promo code link on the main website. And it's going to show you all of our deals that are going on and all the ones that are permanent and all those that are specials for the month. Geek249 at $2.49.com. Go 32 off one. And I have to tell you about a domain that I bought via an auction. Maybe I told you guys already, but I bought podcasthosting.net, not .com. I've been trying to get the podcasthosting.com for a while, but it's been out of our price range. The podcasthosting.net came available. I was able to get it purchased, get it transferred in. So we're able to use that here. That's an absolute fantastic domain to have to support our business. And got it on a, well, it's kind of funny. I got an email from a guy saying, hey, it's for sale. I went over the auction, saw it was available, and I didn't want to have to deal with a third party for a fourth party. Boom, bought it. And then like 5 days later, it's in my domain section. It's basically not pointing at anything yet, but we'll get that solved and pointed at the right website. And I probably going to put up a page and basically have a dedicated domain to get the Google juice out of it. But anyway, this is the kind of, and basically what they have over GoDaddy is web hosting accounts. They've got dedicated servers, shared servers. They've got full line of web products, and there's really everything there for you to get up and online, and we want you to do so. Again, Geek249 is the $2.49.com deal, or 30% off a new order by using Go32Off1. Definitely check it out. Click on the link on the main website. That'll take you over to GoDaddy.com. All right, so let's see here. What else is in my stack here? This coming Saturday, we're having Tim Street is going to be our guest. He's got a limited amount of time he can be with us on Saturday morning, so we're probably going to have two guests. So I'm reaching out to some other people and see if they want to come on for the second half of the show. But he's going to be the one that's going to be on the new media show this coming Saturday. Now, so we're excited about that. And we'll have that ready to go Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern here right at geeknewscentral.com or at live.geeknewscentral.com. So one thing I want to do, though, is, you know, while we're ramping up here for the weekend show, I want you guys to do one thing and one thing only from this show. And this is really, really important. It's so important. I'm putting cash on the line. You want to win $100? All right. Do I have your attention? Do you want to win a crispy $100 bill? I will PayPal it to the person live on the next show. So we'll have to announce who it is and then we'll get it PayPal'd. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to youtube.com/geeknews right now. youtube.com/geeknews. And I want you to subscribe to the show. And now here's the reason. Here's the big deal. As soon as I hit 1,000, and you know, we've never really focused on YouTube, but as soon as we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're going to be able to use the live streaming feature over at YouTube. We're going to be able to do live on YouTube as soon as my channel hits 1,000 subscribers. So I saw this tonight and I went absolutely nuts. I want to get you guys, please, If you do anything, anything for the show ever, if you've never become an insider, if you've never contributed a dime, if you've never sent an email, I don't care about all that. As you can tell, this is important. Go to youtube.com/geeknews and subscribe to the show. And basically all it does is you're subscribing and you'll be in the list. We got to get 1,000. I want to have more, but we don't need that many. Only about 300 people that have to do this. So please help your geek out here at Geek News Central. This is a big deal. It really, really is. And if I knew that YouTube was going to be doing this, we would have been really pushing this a long time ago. But it was just announced today. So that's what I want you to do. All right. So please do that for me. And you have make me a very happy host. And my son is like, well, what's the big deal? And I'm like, you don't understand. But I do understand. And I think it's fantastic. So we're going to give one person that subscribes from right now, from at 8:36 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time on May 16th to the next show. When we do the next show on Monday, between then, one person that subscribes is going to win $100. And, you know, call it bribery, call it whatever you want. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. And I'll get the notice. A little email will come in. You don't even actually have to do anything. At least I'm pretty sure from the stuff I've seen already come in tonight, you won't have to do anything. I'll know who you are and be able to see your profile. Don't forget about our GoDaddy giveaway as well. Send me a receipt. Send me a copy of your receipt of something you purchased at GoDaddy. We'll put you in the stack to win. And also, we got a random prize giveaway. We have a winner, and it's John Anderson out of Maine. I don't think I've ever got an email from John before, but John emailed the show, and he's going to get a 15-inch computer bag. It's real nice. It's really a styling, and it's basically will fit a laptop. It's basically a sleeve type of bag. So he's going to get a 15-inch computer bag. So for the next show, the YouTube deal is the contest, okay? And then we'll continue to go into the grab bag from there forward. Still using a Fitbit, and actually one of our longtime listeners of the show, and actually more than that, is using a Fitbit. Him and I, now I'm seeing his profile, he's seeing mine. Boy, he's way outdoing me from a stepping standpoint. So I'm going to have to get my game on here to go head to head. But yeah, he's doing 10,000 steps a day. And I think I'm like doing 3,500 or something like that. So I need to really ramp it up. But anyway, so that's the process here. And as he had said, or someone had said in an email, hey, I want you to be around for another 40 years. But we had some great emails come in. We'll cover those at the end of the show. So we'll talk about that when we get to the end. But I've got a stack. I had so much stuff in the tech news tonight that I could not see the actual company that wrote it, because you know in the little header you'll see the information, whether it be from whatever website and their logos. I mean the number of tabs were completely jammed together, so I was cutting stuff out like crazy here, getting ready to go live. But one thing I want to do is just remind you guys that I have a good friend at GoDaddy. Her name's Danica. So I want to play a little something from Danica for you. It's been a while since we did this, but should have played this during the ad spot. But go ahead, Danica. Maybe.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Thanks, Danielle. Thank you. Danica, not Danielle. Boy, smack me in the head here. All right, so let me go ahead and did you guys like the intro? That was one of our longtime intros that we used for years. And I needed a little pep up tonight before we got started. So that's the reason we went with that intro. But I've always loved that intro. It's one of the best that we've had here for years, and we're going to play that a lot more often. Just kind of kick it a little bit. All right, so let me go ahead and load up the stack. And Chrome just kind of comes up. It didn't flash up. It kind of like rolled up. It tells you how many tabs. And I had to actually reload the browser 3 times to basically get it to actually load and see if I've actually got my glasses clean here. So if you were out in a cave and you were thirsty and you found some water down the cave, would you drink it? I think most people, if you're really thirsty and, you know, you kind of tested the water, if it wasn't just standing, if it was running, you probably would be feel pretty good about that. But the oldest water cache ever discovered has been found. And it may hold on to your hats, 1.5 billion, yes, billion year old water. A research group, after asking Canadian miners for a sample of some water they'd struck, a team of scientists had been investigating similar finds, discovered that the fluid we're looking at may have been sealed up for 1.5 billion years. And that's just a lower limit. The decaying radioactive atoms in the potential primordial soup told them that this cache of water, the oldest ever discovered, could actually have been waiting patiently in that rock from anywhere up to 2.5 billion years. So you imagine you're deep in a cave. And they're doing mining, and they drill into a rock, and every time they drill out, a couple of gallons of water come out. And they're kind of like, okay. So they call these researchers, and every time they drilled with a drill, water would come out of this rock. Many, many more times salty than what our current oceans hold. And like I said, they did the radioactive testing and be able to tell where it was, you know, the age, but it was actually water sealed inside solid rock, and the scientists are absolutely going ape crazy about this, and this is it's like deep down where they found this, and they basically said, hey, where this is at, it was in this cave, we're on an old ocean bed, and a lot of the formations and stuff in that particular area looks like an ocean floor, but you know, considering how, you know, you guys know what happens with the shelf when it gets, and, but anyway, very, very cool stuff. So they're pretty excited about that. So I don't know if I'd taste it, being salty as it is, but you know, you think about water trapped in rock, 1.5 billion. Think about that from a holy cow standpoint. It's incredible. And they feel that this is pretty exciting because they've found stuff before, but never this old. Very, very cool. So anyway, we'll skip on here and we'll move on. But just to think, it's pretty mind-boggling. It really, really is. And also, there is some news that the subterranean telescope may have just seen humanity's first cosmic neutrino. Known as the Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory, the $279 million telescope, located under the M. Sutton Scott South Pole South Pole Station in Antarctica, has detected what they call the Bert and Ernie event. And they're pretty excited. They've been seeing neutrinos up to this point. But these two neutrinos that they captured are way off the chart, and they feel that these neutrinos could go back as far as the Big Bang. So this is huge. So lots of write-ups on this, and I'm sure we're going to hear more. So some very, very big scientific discoveries. Now, going to a little more lighter fare, you know, Chris Hadfield is back at back home, and he put a YouTube video together that... This guy, you know, I'm just going to have it linked up and you're going to have to watch it. He does a home parody, and he reminds us of why we love space. And I'll have that for you. But all you got to do is, he's at Hadfield at Home is his Twitter account. And I'm sure this is going to be a good one. You know, we have a star here. He doesn't have to worry about working for NASA anymore. He's going to have a great YouTube career, but I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But it's a pretty good video, and I think you'll get a little chuckle out of it, being the parody what it is. Okay, have you went to the movie yet? Star Trek Into Darkness. You know, I'm going to be honest. And this is a small confession here. I kind of was, how should we say it, oblivious to this movie coming out. But, you know, I'm kind of hanging around some folks that are like, are you going to go see Star Trek? I'm like, which one? So I am not a Trekkie, never claimed to be. So those of you that are our diehard Trekkies out there, I'm sure you're in line or have went and seen the movie already. Not going to have any spoilers here. We're going to go see it for sure. But, you know, after all, it's Star Trek, right? So Star Trek Into Darkness. Anyway, very, very cool. Yeah, one of the guys in the chat room says, water and rock, better than Tupperware. You got that right. Absolutely right. Better than Tupperware. Well, the big news this week is obviously coming out of Google. Now, when Apple does a keynote, Apple does like an hour and a half. The Google had a four-hour I.O. 2013 keynote. 4 hours. I'm thinking to myself, who's going to sit through 4 hours? Well, all these people did. And 3 hours, 51 minutes and 25 seconds. It's available for playback on YouTube, covers many of the company's announcements from yesterday's, including All Access, Hangouts, a bounty of developer tools, and the Galaxy S4 running stock Jelly Bean. So, and of course, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that that they announced as well. The conference continues, and so lots of cool stuff. But one of the things they had at the event was they showed the developers there how to root, yes, root, R-O-O-T, how to root Google Glass, and showed them how to run it using Ubuntu. And they did it live, and they basically said, go ahead, knock yourself out. And the actual session that the company put together was called Voiding Your Warranty. And they actually used Google employees to demonstrate this rooting process and how to do it and how to install it. So, you know, Google is getting out there. And they're saying, let's make some things happen. And the developers absolutely loved it. One of the things I thought was pretty fascinating, and I've always wondered about this, and I would love to see some real-time data, but Google has turned up location data usage on Android apps. So this is something that's very, very cool. Google wants to make the most of sensors in the Android device and is going to let developers incorporate rich location data into their apps. And they've included some apps called Fusion Location Provider. It's going to use very little battery power, less than 1% per hour, and it's going to share Android device users' location. The second API is called Geofencing, which lets you define virtual areas around geographical areas and create triggers so whenever a user enters or exits a location, basically you can get a little pop-up or a little push notification. And then they're going to have activity recognition API, which will track a user's physical activities they use, machines about learning exactly how the users are moving, whether running, walking, idling a car, so forth. And really put this together, API is going to let companies gain far more intelligence about their customers through Android apps. So this in itself should be a little bit for you to go, wow. And all this stuff, of course, will be able to be turned on or turned off. And then the app will have to ask your permission to do it. But it's definitely going to lead to new discussions about practices on privacy, on when these apps can do this and if they can go back in your historical and so forth. And I'm sure some of the stuff that they're doing with geofencing is being tied into Ingress and some of the stuff that they've done. As I'm sure those guys have always had early API stuff, and some of this geo stuff is really tied into that. So, by the way, you know, been having a blast playing Ingress. I've said that before. Can't wait till we start our Ingress podcast. I'm just trying to find the right opposition player to be on with me. But very, very addicting, but something they have to keep in check. Been, you know, a lot of discussion about privacy and talking about utilization of Google Glass. And, you know, a lot of the things coming out is now the U.S. government's worried about the privacy issues. And Google basically saying, if I'm recording you, I have to stare at you. You know, it's not like I'm going to be able to turn my head. I'm actually going to have to look at you, and I'm going to have to point my head in the direction that I want to have the camera pointed at in order to do it. And they said, so there's, you know, there is going to be, you know, you're going to know if someone's looking at you. Obviously, if you're in a bathroom and someone's staring at you and they're wearing Google Glass, you know, that's going to end in a confrontation. But at the same time, if a guy's wearing Google Glass and he goes in the bathroom and the guys do what they do and they stare straight forward and they don't look right or left, there's probably not going to be any problems. But, you know, obviously the bathroom and certain areas of business and stuff, I'm sure there's going to be Google Glass bans. But Congress has definitely got some work to, you know, keep this privacy question going on. In coming up with some acceptable ways of wearing glass. Well, at the same time, one of the gals that was trying glass, she says, I was really skeptical about it. She said, until I tried them on, she had no interest in wearing Google Glass around town. But the simple snap of a photo with Google Glass on Wednesday without moving her head or hands gave her a new understanding of glass. She says when she was walking through downtown San Francisco before the Google I.O. conference, when she was crossing a street, she saw a particularly pretty scene of the sun rising between two buildings. Hoping she'd have enough time before the walk signal ended, she dug out her iPhone out of her bag, swiped open the camera, snapped the photo, and then had to run to the curb to avoid getting run over by cars. If she was wearing Google Glass, she would have just been able to turn her head, point at the sun, and said, take picture. And she would have got it and kept going a main stride. So that was the point at which she said, aha, I can understand where this is going to go. And I'm sure we've only started to scratch the surface on glass, but there was a lot of discussion about it at Google I.O. Along with that, there's a lot of talk about the future of search. A lot of stuff coming out of first future of search is really Google's starting to really get smart. And they're basically saying on all platforms, search will get smarter about interpreting queries and sequences of queries, such as show me things to do in Santa Cruz, show me pictures of the Santa Cruz boardwalk, and how far is it from here? Basically, they're going to start putting in, so you can do voice commands where you can go into spoken conversation mode by, just like you talk to Siri, say, okay, Google, where they actually be able to say something to the device, to the glass, or whatever to do the search. So they're working on what's called the knowledge graph, which gives Google better understanding of facts about all sorts of entities, and they're going to try to anticipate your follow-up questions and answer them based upon what other people have searched for. Ask for the population of Canada, for instance, and it will tell you, but it will also graph how that population has changed over time. Google Now is going to have some what they call Google Now cards, which presents you with summaries of info based on all kinds of stuff. Google knows... that Google knows about, and you're going to be adding some historical data to them. They're going to better be able to search for you. So that's pretty cool, some of the stuff that they're going to be doing. But also at the same time, it's showing you how much they really know. They know a lot about us. And I guarantee you, Google knows more about you than your wife does. And if you disagree with that, email me. But I would say all of us have our own. We're still individuals, you know, and unless you're a person that shares everything, I'm almost guarantee you Google knows more about you than your own wife does, or maybe your kids. I might be wrong, but I would suspect that. Now, Google is also working on maps for a data-rich web, and it's available now to ask for early access to it. It hasn't been rolled out. But when compared side by side with the early version of Google Maps, the difference between the maps of 2006 and 2013, they're saying is equivalent to the difference between a real MP3 player and an iPod. So that's pretty big. And they've done some screenshots and stuff like that. And it's really what it boils down to is it's about the data. You know, really, what I want to do is, and I'm on the go a lot, and I'm going someplace. Usually, I have no idea where I'm going, except maybe I have an address and a location. So I'll say, take me to Starbucks on Smith Street, and I want the maps to be smart enough to know that I'm looking for Starbucks on Smith Street in the town I'm in, not in the next state. If I want to go to the next state, I'm going to say I want to go to the Hilton Garden Inn in Dallas, Texas Airport, or whatever I'm going to say, and it's going to get me there. They're saying it's the little things that are going to matter. And search is front and center of the new product. The big, bold graphical interface is inviting and attractive. The Google Meds web app is packed with dozens of minute but important design improvements that are meant to make using maps immersive and simple. In its official blog post announcing the new product, the company spokesperson said this: in addition to a customized map, we've also made it easier to find and discover the best local places. Search results are labeled directly on the map with brief descriptions and icons that highlight business categories and other useful information like restaurants that are recommended by your Google Plus friends. Info cards provide helpful info such as business hours, ratings, and reviews so you can quickly decide where to eat, drink, and play. My biggest challenge in going to cities is I have to roll the dice on food. I always have to say, go to Yelp, I go online, and I never, ever trust completely the reviews. But if you're in my Google Plus circle, and you've been in a town that and you've recommended something in Google Plus, or you've recommended a restaurant or wrote a review, it's going to let me know, hey, Tony, you know, recommend such and such place. And you, or I hated this place. If Tony says I hate it, I'm not going there. So we're going to be able to socialize stuff that we're doing in cities that we're going to, or maybe in cities that we live in. So it's going to be important for us to help fill this metadata. So when I'm at a restaurant, you know, and Hawaii has 10,000, at least Oahu has 10,000 restaurants. We try, when we go out, to try a place different, not every time, but quite often. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's horrible. And, you know, sometimes little holes in the walls have been some of the best places we've ate, and they have no stature. Only the local people know they're great. But if I can tell you that they're great, the place is great, and you're in that location, you're here as a tourist, and you're going around an area, and it says, where do we eat? It says, Todd recommends this little hole in the wall. And if I recommend it, you trust me, you're going to go there and eat, right? So we all want this kind of an experience. We want a truth factor. And so Google's going to be, you know, rolling out maps. Again, more privacy concerns. You know, but I think friend recommendations, you know, we're all friends here. You guys are listening to the show. We're all family. So if you tell me someplace is great, I'm going to go. If you tell me someplace is horrible, I'm going to run, right? And if I have you know, we've talked about vendors on this show a lot, you know. So think about the metadata from this show, 858 or whatever, 800 and some episodes we're into now, on what we've been able to siphon through all these years. So it's pretty cool. It really, really is. And one thing that my wife wants right now, she's been, since we're using only one vehicle right now, I only have one vehicle because I've told you about it already. So she's been taking public transportation some here. And the thing that makes her mad is, you know, the bus says it's supposed to be there at 12:30. Her being Japanese, 12:30 means 12:30. It means 12:28 to 12:34. That's when the bus is supposed to get there. She doesn't like getting to a bus stop and find out the bus left 3 minutes ago when it was supposed to be there then, you know. So she's getting used to the old, you know, American style of bus stuff when it doesn't run on time. So for her, she'd like to have an app that says, hey, the bus is running 3 minutes ahead of schedule. You need to hoof it. You know, and she could leave the house 3 minutes earlier. And the bus stop's only a quarter mile from our house. It's close. Basically three and a half blocks. So this is the kind of stuff we want. This is kind of the immersive data we want in our smartphones and maybe something like Google Glass. So they've also introduced Google Music. This has debuted all across all devices and $9.95 a month. And, of course, Google Music All Access is going to be competing with, you know, a lot of the different streaming services out there. The service, again, is going to cost you $99 per month. Early users are going to get a $7.99 introductory price, and everyone gets a free 30-day trial. So, you know, music unites us. Well, unless you have teenagers. They're listening to their own stuff. I'm listening to my stuff. And now I'm in the car. They're, you know, they're plugged in, and they're listening to their own music. Boy, how I wish I would have had that when I was growing up with my dad. Because he was listening to, some 1950s and 1960s music. And, I was Boston, and I was AC/DC, and I was Queen. And that was my oh, man. Rock. It wasn't metal then. It was rock and roll. So that was my big thing. All right, let's go ahead and switch gears. Let's get off Google here. I think I've covered everything that I really wanted to talk about on Google I.O. 2013. But again, watch out Ustream. Watch out YouTube, because YouTube is expanding its live stream offering. And this is, again, the service will allow every channel owner with at least 1,000 subscribers to go live. So please go over to youtube.com/geeknews and subscribe now. And we know that Google introduced Live 2 years ago with select partners and gradually expanded the numbers of approved live streamers by opening up. And really, this is big. And the folks at Livestream, Ustream, Justin TV, all of those folks are going to be impacted. Like to see how it all works out. But we know that Livestream has been moving away from pre-roll advertising for a long time. We're up on Livestream tonight, ad-free, not cost-free. You know, that comes with me writing a check every month for that service to have you guys be able to watch the live stream ad-free. Because nothing I hate more than putting someone else's ads in my content that I already have ads in. You know, I really do. Okay, so 1,000. We got to have 1,000. We can do that. That's easy. That's not an issue. That's a walk in the park. So let's make it happen. And I'll be looking forward to streaming live on YouTube. We'll definitely have to give that a run for its money. All right, FaceTime. This is kind of like a FaceTime replay. And what I mean, AT&T has nixed video chat on the new Google updated Hangouts. So if you have AT&T, if you have an iPhone or an Android device, and you download the new Hangouts app, AT&T says operating system device makers must enable the app and only certain plans allowed. So once again, all AT&T mobility customers are sucking. You guys are not going to be able to use Hangouts unless you're on a Wi-Fi connection. Once again, here we go. You know, fair and open, whatever. This goes back to when AT&T decreed that customers would not be able to use Apple's new FaceTime chatting over its network. You know, they also, we got to remember, the company later sort of relented and said it would make the service free to customers on 3G networks, but only if they were on a shared data plan. And I hope you guys have as much outrage as I do. This continues with AT&T playing games with your subscription and not allowing you to use your phone the way you want it to be used. All right, Roku has updated its interface, adds a grid menu, better search. So, this has been out for a little while. And we may have talked about this before, but definitely if you've got a Roku device, make sure you get it updated. Jen put together a great article for us talking about Twitch. And I wasn't really familiar with Twitch until today because I had not subscribed or used their app before. But Twitch has announced that they have a brand new app that can be used on your Xbox 360. As you may have guessed it, it's called Twitch App for Xbox. It will allow you to watch at least some of the content from Twitch on your big screen. Do you guys like watching the gamers play and basically live streaming their gameplay? That's what Twitch is all about. The app is going to have 300 live channels. Users can browse through the directory either by games, featured content, or top channels. And it's available for Xbox Live Gold subscribers who live in the United States only. So anyway, very cool. All right, you guys know... a couple of years ago, I was very excited when the folks at Viasat were getting ready to launch a satellite that basically was going to bring broadband to rural areas. And as a disclosure, when Viasat launched their first satellite, I waited till it got in orbit and I bought their stock because I knew it was going to be a good gameplay, but I wanted to make sure the vehicle got to orbit, and it did. And I've done very well. I no longer hold Viasat as a stock holding. Did well on it. But they're going to punch out Viasat 2 in 2016. This is going to be the company's next-gen bird. Will double capacity of its predecessor, while also extending coverage to a larger portion of North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, along with aviation shipping routes between the East Coast and Europe. Boeing's going to be making the satellite, and it's based on the 702HP satellite platform. Once in orbit, Viasat 2 will serve residential customers, air travelers, and government agencies. So very, very, very cool. So we'll watch the stock, and we'll see how it does on launch. Viasat is, my opinion, is a company that is doing well in this space. All right, Tim Cook says U.S.-made Mac will be new model in an existing family. We know that they talked about building some Macs here in the U.S., but it appears the American Mac will actually be using parts coming from Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, and Texas. So they are using more U.S. manufacturers as well for the guts. For the guts of the computer. So we'll wait for that to come out and see where that leads. Also, if you're looking to pick up an Android tablet, the folks from Arcos are introducing the Xeon 8-inch. It's a Xeon 80, and it's an 8-inch tablet. And they're going to have, it's going to be on Jelly Bean. It's going to be about $200. And you are going to be able to have a data plan with it. It's going to have a 3G card in it. I think for that price, I just want the thing with Wi-Fi. It's going to have a 1024 by 768 IPS display, 4 gigs of internal storage, and it's going to be having a SIM that's unlocked. So very, very cool. Must be you can go out and buy your own SIM for that. That's even better. All right, if you have the Wii, yes, if you're using the Wii and you like games from EA, no new EA games in development for Wii U, companies revealed. So this is really the kiss of death for Wii U. No EA content, for sure. So disappointing for those of you that probably have a Wii. Oh, what did I just do? I just clicked. All right, so let's just real quickly here. I'm going to go into a couple of articles that are making the news. And it's, oh, by the way, do you guys remember Judge Beryl Howell, the former RIAA lobbyist who helped author the DMCA? Well, she was the one that helped Prenda get access to 1,000 John Doe defendants in a single lawsuit. Well, that lawsuit has been appealed, and that information release has been appealed. And she's basically been put on the sidelines. But lots of briefs being submitted by folks like Brighthouse, Cox, Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast. Verizon, Comcast being the exceptions. Because they're not even the service jurisdiction of the district court that this was filed in. But anyway, long story short here, lots of legal action on this. But with Prenda's history, hopefully these folks come up on top on them. But this was one case that's still out there kind of hanging that is being appealed at least. All right, we talked about those cameras being taken away during that lethal beating. Well, the alleged lethal beating, let me back that up. But the footage of the alleged lethal beating has been deleted from C's phone. Yes, the video was deleted from the C's. Remember those one that got from a search warrant and one the guy gave to him? But the sheriff, maybe a little bit too late, but at least smartly, has asked the FBI to take over the investigation. They've turned over the two phones to the FBI, to their forensic lab, and we'll see if they are able to dig this out. But the deputies named by the department put on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation, and the sheriff has stated those officers have been receiving death threats and negative email. Of course, this should be expected with the press this has got. You know, the court of public opinion creates a lot of judge and jury hybrids. And, but anyway, we'll see if the FBI's involvement will continue in this fashion, and we'll see what happens if this, you know, if these guys are either going to be vindicated or they're going to be in deeper trouble. It's very distressing to hear that a phone, one of the phone, they don't say two, but they say a phone video was deleted. And if that means that the police department took that video and erased it off the phone that they grabbed, oh boy, that doesn't bode well. You know, and there's, you know, people have big trust issues right now with the government, right? Lots of craziness going on. You know, stuff that makes you go, what in the world is going on and who is in charge? You know, it's incredible what's going on. Do you guys trust, you know, do you guys really trust your government right now? You know, I love this country, but boy, some of the things that are going on just makes you go, wow. Are you kidding me? And look what Florida's doing. This is wait till you hear this. All right, Florida needs some money, right? They're short on their budget. They're having budget issues. So Florida Department of Transportation has cut yellow light delay, ignoring federal guidelines. Red light cameras generated more than $100 million in revenue last year in approximately 70 Florida communities, with a 52.5% of the revenue going to state. The rest is divided by cities, counties, and the camera companies. In 2013, the cameras on pace to generate $120 million. They reduced the time that the yellow light was on. You guys know you're driving, right? And you're part way into, you know, you're already committed. There's no way you can possibly stop. The light goes yellow. You go, crap. And, you know, or there's some other expletive. And then you go, boom, you're through the light, right? And usually by the time your tail of your car crosses over to the next, out of the intersection, the light's red. But can you imagine? Goes yellow, one, two, red. And you're not even through the intersection and boom, poof, the flash goes off and you get a ticket. And they lowered the time. And there's sometimes you just can't stop. There's been a few times where you go, I'm probably going to stop for that one, but I went through anyway, and vice versa. Now, what's going on here? What happened to net one? Did it go offline? Where did you go? Okay, let me send it back. Let me try that again. Oh, there it comes. That's weird. It's the first time I've seen that sync go off. The sync that basically shows the other screen was missing. But anyway, that would just make you upset. So if you're in Florida, watch those yellow lights or you may get something in the mail. All right, the folks at NASA are saying goodbye to the Kepler spacecraft. And this is very sad. It appears that the Kepler spacecraft, which has been used to look deep into the universe and survey for exoplanets. It's got some gyro issues. Since its launch in 2009, Kepler has identified 115 exoplanets with over 2,700 other potential planet candidates, including a number that are comparable in size to Earth or orbiting within the habitable zone where liquid water might exist. And this is the second gyro that has failed. One had failed late last year. And that satellite's way too far out for any type of a repair. Of course, we don't have a vehicle that could go out and do it. But the telescope can continue to operate in a drift mode where a different portion of the sky could come into view, but it's uncertain how much science could be done in the configuration. Kepler's amassed a great deal of data, still yet to be analyzed, but this is pretty bad. But they figured that this was originally only a three-year mission. And so they've got their time out of it. But we always want these expensive pieces of hardware that we'd spend a lot of money getting the satellite to work a lot longer. But this one did not. And it's not like you can recall and send it back to the manufacturer. All right, for all publishers out there, Google, take down your ad. I'm ahead of myself. Google has told Microsoft, take down your ad-free YouTube app. Microsoft said, let us add ads. Well, basically, there's been this little he said, she said, na 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 type thing going on between Microsoft and Google. So Microsoft wants YouTube videos, but Google's not giving them access to the API to do everything they need to do to bring in the advertising into stuff that's being played. So there's been a little bit of he said, she said, a little pointing back and forth. This is heading towards litigation. In 2011, Microsoft complained that Google was bearing access to a certain unspecified YouTube APIs and was thereby preventing the company from properly indexing and searching YouTube videos in its Bing search engine. Microsoft also said that the restriction prevented it from building a complete and capable YouTube application for Windows Phone. The appearance of the application last week initially gave the appearance that the root cause of this complaint had been addressed, at least to the extent that Microsoft had sufficient access to build a decent app. But the cease and desist, however, suggests that Redmond may not have had Mountain View's blessing after all. Microsoft said, we'd be more than happy to include advertising, but Google needs to provide us access and necessary APIs. In light of Larry Page's comment today calling for more interoperability and less negativity, we look forward to solving this matter together for our mutual customers. Yeah, whatever. That means get the lawyers out. All right, so imagine that you are part of an open source platform and you've got someone that's coming in and saying, listen, you've got a security violation. And imagine one of the developers calling the critic, basically calling him out and embarrassing him in the forums. Well, shortly after, this guy has basically been harping on these folks for like 6 weeks or more or a couple months that they've got an issue. They haven't fixed it. And this is in zPanel, the open source zPanel. And basically the what happened was is their forums got hacked and their forums went down. The company said it has nothing to do with zPanel, but our forums definitely took a hit. So, you know, this guy kind of like put it in his face, said, oh, okay, you say you don't have an issue? Well, let me shut down this forum and make it look like, you know, you have an issue. But it was kind of an interesting move here. Definitely there was some delve of going back and forth. And the actual company said, yeah, we know there's an issue. We need to get this fixed, but they hadn't got it fixed yet. So this guy was just upset that someone would say that the code has, you know, security violation. I think you have someone come in and say, you got a security issue. You say, thank you very much. You know, where did you see? Where did you see it? And you know, what do you think we need to do to fix it? You don't call the guy out and make him look embarrassed. It's not smart. All right, Google wants your WordPress blog and everything else in its cloud. And Google today basically unveiled the changes during a developer session on the Google Cloud platform. The change that got the most applause from the developer's audience was the expansion of Google App Engine service to support applications written in the PHP script language. So Google's announcements that it would be opening its cloud data store to applicants running anywhere, not just in Google's cloud, got love from the audience too. So this week, direct competition to Amazon Web Services. But the addition of PHP to App Engine, a now limited preview, means that Google can host web applications like WordPress and different websites in its cloud to take advantage of the App Engine's auto-scaling to respond to surges in traffic. Of course, this directly competes with Amazon's PHP service and what they call Elastic Beanstalk, which we use to make sure our servers expand and contract as they need for demand-wise. Congratulations to Newegg. Newegg nuked a corporate troll. They won a major, major slap down to Alcatel-Lucent. Basically, they took them to the ropes and beat them down big time. Newegg had basically said, we're not going to roll over we're not going to roll over to any patent troll, even though companies like Kmart, KVC, Lands End, and Intuit, who all paid up in various stages of litigation, Zappos, Sears, and Amazon also paid up, but basically Overstock.com and Newegg were the last two, and Newegg basically said, we will never settle with patent trolls, and they fought them and won. I applaud Newegg for being able to do that and spending the cash it was required to have the lawyers do that. You know, they won the initial thing. It went in appeal, and appeals basically slammed it within 3 days. That was unheard of. So nice to see some patent trolls to be sent packing. Those of you down in New Zealand Supreme Court to hear appeal on whether .com can see the U.S. evidence against him. This goes to the New Zealand Supreme Court. It's been denied up to this point, but the New Zealand Supreme Court is going to be able to rule on this, and we don't expect anything to come out maybe late summer. So that will definitely delay his extradition hearing. But, you know, he's lost in appeals court, but the Supreme Court has agreed to hear his case. And no date's been set for the hearing, but this is good news for Kim.com. YouTube copyright owners denied class action status. The same judge who handed Viacom another defeat in its copyright infringement lawsuit against YouTube last month has denied a class action status to a huge population of video copyright owners whose works were posted on YouTube without their permission. I think that's a win for users. All right, Mac malware found with a valid developer ID at Freedom Conference. In other words, an app that you can buy on the App Store that gets downloaded and put on your machine was found to have malware in it, taking screenshots and doing key logging. The malware is a hidden program called Macs.app, M-A-C-S.app, which installs itself amongst the computer login items so that it fires up once the machine is booted. And it had been signed off by a legitimate Apple developer ID, enabling it to get past Cupertino's gatekeeper security software. So once activated, the software takes a regular series of screenshots from the infected computer and sends them over to two servers, one of which has been found to be inactive and the other one is private. But there's been a second sample of the same type of malware discovered in another system. So in other words, those of you using the Mac system, oh, and by the way, F-Secure already had the definition to this malware in their antivirus stuff. So it's not like they didn't know. So if you think you're running your Mac scot-free without any protection, you better think again. Great. Let me see if I can bring this up, show you guys this. The folks over at NASA put together something pretty cool. They put together a, you really can't see it that well. It's driving distance on Mars and Moon. So what they show here is what's drove the farthest. Starting with Sojourner in 1997, 0.1 kilometer, Curiosity 0.7, Spirit 7.7. Of course, the winner of this was the Lunokhod 2 from Russia that traveled 37 kilometers on the moon. But Opportunity right now is at 35.6. So it has a chance to beat the Russian rover here directly. But kind of a cool little infographic that they made available. But anyway, shows you what's been happening with the variety of different robot. And this also included the lunar rover that Apollo astronauts drove on the moon as well. Okay, so next up here, let me look how we're doing for time. Yeah, we're doing okay. I'm still got a ways to go here. Tim Cook defends Apple's tax record to have Senate committee appearance. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm be interested to hear what the CEO of Apple has to say with his billions and billions of dollars offshore that he's paying no taxes on here in the United States, of which they just borrowed $17 billion in bond offerings to prevent them from having to bring in some of their $100 billion that's overseas. So I don't know about you guys, but it irks me. You know, probably the large majority of sales for Apple products are here in the United States. I think they should pay a percentage of those taxes here. Same amount, whatever your market share is. If your market is 42.3%, of your sales come from the United States and you made $100 billion, you pay $42.3 billion. That's where your tax bracket starts. Really, I think that's the way it should be done. But, you know, the rich are able to put their stuff in different countries, and that's the way our system works. And boy, I tell you, they could fix some of our deficit issues by holding some of these companies' feet to the fire when it comes to paying taxes. Some will disagree with that. But, you know, I have a small company here in the United States. We pay payroll, we pay our taxes, and we happily do it. We don't offshore anything. You know, we have customers that buy our products from other countries, but we take and we pay our taxes here. where the company is originated. I think that's the way it should be. But obviously, stockholders don't like that when they have to pay taxes. They want their dividends. Personally, I think it's better that U.S. companies pay taxes in the country that they originate in. But that's just me. All right, Google TV will receive Android 4.2.2 update as well as the latest version of Chrome. So that's coming. And the update will be rolled out to existing devices in the coming months. So keep you aware of that. Congratulations to Apple. The Apple App Store hit 50 billion downloads. So that's pretty incredible. And did they announce who won it? The 10 grand? They did not. If they did, I don't see the information. But anyway, someone's $10,000 richer, and they probably don't even know it yet. All right, here. There's a pretty cool how-to. It talks about the road less traveled and how Google does Street View for the world's oceans. And I guess I wasn't really too familiar with that. But anyway, I guess you can do Street View underneath the water. They got a little, and it talks about the technology they use to map stuff. Over on Ogizmo, what airport is this in? They're starting to make Go Sleep Pods, and it allows you to get some shut-eye at the airport. I'd be afraid to lay down on one of these things because I may fall asleep so well I miss my flight. But each Go Sleep Pod can be rented for $13 an hour at the Abu Dhabi airport. So they're not in the United States yet, but for $13 an hour, if you've got a long layover, this would be the way to go. But they're huge. Looks like there's room for two. Interesting. All right. So not even going to go there. But you guys know what I'm thinking. All right. Six Strike anti-piracy outfit has lost their company status. The Center for Copyright Information, a partnership between the RIAA, NPAA, and several major internet providers, has had its company status revoked in the District of Columbia. The CCI, who is leading the Six Strikes anti-privacy scheme, has violated state laws, is unable to conduct any official business anywhere in the United States. In addition, the outfit faces civil penalties and risks losing its name to a third-party company. Now, this is largely a paperwork drill for them. But according to the Columbia Department of Consumer Regulatory Affairs, the company leading the Six Strike program has had its status revoked. So it's kind of funny that this has happened. Now, they're going to get their stuff fixed, and it won't be for very long, but they're in a penalty box and have to pay a penalty. Kind of interesting that the company that is leading the Six Strikes is not actually an entity right now that can do business. That, to me, is very, very funny. All right, Kim.com has granted... Oh, we already talked about that. Close that one. ISILHunt will take DMC safe harbor fight to the Supreme Court. In March, the Ninth Circuit declared that the Canada-based BitTorrent search engine ISILHunt is not entitled to protection under the safe harbor's provision of DMCA due to conduct many years ago. ISILHunt filed a petition for a rehearing before a jury, but yesterday, a Ninth Court panel unanimously rejected it. ISILHunt lawyer Ira Rothkin informs Torrent Freak that the rights to a jury trial is protected by the Constitution, and ISILHunt is now in the process of requesting a Supreme Court review. So this is going to happen up in Canada, Canada. So we'll see where this leads, and we'll see if they get their day in court or not. Pretty good article over on the DailyGalaxy.com talks about two binary neutron stars who basically pull mass from each other like every so many hours. And this is a pretty incredible thing going on here. And just because of the dynamics of the gravity change, one pulls from the other, then it basically vice versa. And then there's ultimate tug of war for tearing each other apart. So I have the link up in the show notes. You can check that out. There was a new GPS satellite launched on an Atlas V rocket. So the 737,000-pound two-stage rocket loaded with kerosene fuel lifted off 5:38 p.m. to launch GPS 2F-4. Continuing a string of on-time launches, all four Atlas rocket flights so far this year. So this puts up a new GPS satellite, and those have to be replaced from time to time. So very good. They got this thing in orbit. So looks like everything's working so far. No more details than that. But anyway, made orbit didn't happen on the planet. Now, this is definitely off the reservation a little bit for a tech show. But Wired has an article talking about how terrorists who entered the Witness Protection Program then fled the United States. Huh? We had terrorists in our Witness Protection Plan. And then they fled the United States? Huh. And they let them be in the Witness Protection. I guess so. What the Wired article said, should you ever be accused of terrorism, here's what you should do. Snitch on your friends. Demand to be placed on their witness protection program. Then fly out of the country. Not but one, but two suspected terrorists placed in the federal witness security program have managed to elude U.S. Marshal Service, even though their status as suspected terrorists meant they should have appeared on a federal no-fly list. How about being in jail? How about being locked up? What is this? Our taxpayer dollars are being used to have a terrorist in the witness protection program? Are they crazy? Have they lost their minds? This was like a what? No, this can't be true. What knucklehead in their right mind would do this? What idiot? What idiot? Someone that is accused of being a terrorist, even though they snitch, they're put in a witness protection program? This is not your petty theft crook. This is not the guy that's going to be the whistleblower. This is not the guy that's going to testify against the mob member. It's a terrorist. Put in homes in our communities under the witness protection program? Are you as stunned as I am? I know this is not tech related, but how can this be? How can this be? My God. What's next? What's next? What's the next revelation? That we've got to, I won't even go there. Now, down in New Zealand, your government wants to spy on all your communications, VPNs, and be able to use secret evidence against you. So if you're not aware of this, this TICS, the Telecommunication Interception Capability Security Bill, is something you should pay attention to. So for our New Zealand audience, look this thing up. Again, it's Telecommunication Interception Capability Security Bill. Call your legislature. Wow. Okay, LUTSEC hackers sentenced to between 1 and 3 years in prison in UK court. So 4 UK hackers have been sentenced for their role in the online attacks conducted by under the banner of LUTSEC. According to security group Sophos in Court News UK, Ryan Clearly, a.k.a. Viral, was sentenced to 32 months in jail, but only served half his sentence. And then the rest of them got a variety of services. One guy got down to 300 hours of community service. And they all pled a plea bargain, said we're guilty, and put us in jail. And finally, the CW. You guys, any of you watch the CW? CW struck a deal that would bring network content to your Apple TV. So it's coming soon. Of course, CW is already on Xbox 360, Windows 8, but now it's going to be on Apple TV as well. All right, so that's all for the content tonight. Let me go ahead and load up the email because I know we have a number of stuff that came in. And let me open that up very quickly. And we'll go over to this little folder. It says GNC comments. You can send your comments to the show. It's real easy. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Got an email here from Karen. Karen, thank you. And we are loving it that we're hearing from the ladies. Thank you for listening to the show. And Karen's out of New Hampshire. And she says, hey, Todd, your spotlight on Hollywood and music industry takedown notes says execute the absence of due process is unique. I like that you report extensively on these and other violations of citizens' constitutional rights. All of this is going on, aided and abetted by our own elected officials. I find the freedom fighting issues even more interesting than your strictly tech content. I noticed you got way more than. Oh, this is she's worried about me. So she says, I noticed you got way more than your share of upper respiratory infections last winter. They seem to coincide with your travel. Oh, yeah. I'm a nurse, and I haven't had a cold in over 5 years since I've adopted the following policy. And I just scratched my nose. See that? Try to never touch your nose or your eyes with your hands, no matter how itchy, when one of your first-class traveling companions coughs or sneezes in close range. Close your eyes and hold your breath. Don't inhale that droplet-infected air as long as possible, allowing the virus particles to drop to nearby surfaces. Hope you try it. Hope it works. Karen, I will be closing my eyes and holding my breath. But, you know, when I go to shows like CES, and I'm going to scratch my nose again. There's 120,000 people. And every person that comes up says, hi, Todd, how you doing? Sticks out his hand, wants to shake his hand. And I know that he's been wiping his nose, touching different surfaces. And, you know, I'm usually not like this real germ freak, but you know, it's like you almost like you want to like do a knuckle, but you can't. It's some of those things, you know. So you find yourself washing your hands, but that heavy of an environment where there's that many people, it's almost impossible not to get the crud, just because of the sheer numbers of people. And just, you know, you think about all the surfaces where there's 120,000 people, and you know, I find myself standing with my arms crossed because, escalators, do not touch. And when you're riding an escalator, folks, and your kids go to touch an escalator thing, remember, just grab your kids' hands before you're going to walk them on the escalator. Hold their hands. Don't let them touch the little black rail, because when you're at a convention, that black rail, to me, that is like that. I bet you if they did a sample off that, that would be like, oh, that's the worst, you know? And, so I hate to say it this way, but it's almost the bathrooms are cleaner because everyone's standing in line, you know, and you can wash your hands, and they got a place there where you can get paper towels. You don't have to touch anything. You can get in and get out, right? But it's not the same way in food areas and everything else. So, thanks for the advice, Karen. I will try it. And thank you for thinking about me and my health. And thanks for being part of the Ohana here. Got an email from Nicholas. Say, hey, Ty, I've been listening to your show since 2005. Really like the format. But since you asked about ways to improve your show, I thought I'd suggest something. The only thing that bothers me about the show is that when your show intro comes on, the volume is much louder than the rest of the show. And, you know, I always crank that thing down. But for some reason, it just comes across louder. And I understand. I will try to work on bringing that level down so it doesn't blow you out. I got an email from Michael. Hey, Todd, please enter me your next giveaway. It's been fun to follow you these years. I'm an avid Fitbit user for 18 months. So, Michael, you and I are connected now via Fitbit. It says, I've committed to getting 11,000 steps each day and use it with the wristband to track my sleep. If you like an accountability partner, let me know. So I'm sure you're going to be emailing me and blasting me here, and we'll cover it in the air whenever you do. Christian says, also you can say at least two people from Arizona listening since the last winter from Phoenix, and I'm from Gilbert. So Christian, thanks for listening to the show out of Arizona. We got a lot of Ohana in Arizona that listen to the show. Let's see here. I got an email here. Da-da-da-da. Suzanne, Paul, oh, Julie. I really enjoy your show, and I especially appreciate the change in intro. The old one got a bit annoying. And Julie's out of Ohio. Julie, another lady that's listening to the show, thank you so much. And you notice we changed it tonight, and it was partially because of your comment. Got an email from Tom, a loyal listener in Michigan. Hey, us Michiganders, I tell you, going to be back there in late June. Coming back to see my family, actually going out to Ford to do an event. But coming out there, and I'll be there for a week. Where do you live there, Tom? Are you anywhere near Dearborn or Coldwater or Quincy, Michigan? If you are, we'll have to have a hookup. All right, basically a meetup, not a hookup. let's see here. And Dustin, thanks for listening since 2004. Man, you've been here a long time. And don't be silent on your feedback. Fire away with both barrels, please, please, please. And I think that was it. Let me look at the date here. 5/13 was the last show. That was the last email. And thanks, everybody, for firing stuff to us. Again, follow me on YouTube. Subscribe. YouTube.com/geeknews. That's the first place I want you to go. I hope you already went there. Subscribe to the show. If there's nothing you've ever done for the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you've done stuff for this show, please go ahead and subscribe anyway. I definitely appreciate it. Hey, obviously, this show would not be possible in its current format without our good friends at GoDaddy. And $2.49.com, Geek249, 32% off. Go32 off. One is the promo code. All those are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And we'll have one of our additional sponsors back next week. But if you can become an insider, this is the time to do it. geeknewscentral.com/insider. And just to let you know, we've gotten about 5 different bids on solar. And so now it's basically math time. I got to figure out, does it make sense? And I'm going to, they've got great loans here. It's not home improvement loans, but it's green loans. And we're probably going to finance at least part of the actual install. And what you can do is based upon the tax return and the way it looks like what we get back in Hawaii, I'll probably get about $15,000 back for an entire system. Now, an entire system, depending on how many panels we put on, can cost between $30,000 and $40,000. But if I think about it, and if I can get 15 back, you know, that's really between 15 and 25 is what the total cost. And really, the payback is really good on a system like that. Well under 5 years. And actually, everything we're looking at has a 3-year payback based upon, you know, all the tax implications and everything else. So 3 years to be even Steven and making money straightforward is a pretty good investment. But, you know, you got to get that chunk of money to be able to do it. So we're really trying to see if it fits in the budget. But we'd really love to have solar on this house sometime this year, because electricity bills are not going down. And you don't want to, if my kid leaves a light on, it's like, you know, I'll have my hand out, ka-ching, put some money in there. We're really strict about it. But the cost of living here in Hawaii is just so insane. And the cost of electricity is so insane. It's 5 times what most of you guys pay. So just take your electricity bill and multiply it by 5 times and you'll know what I'm facing here. And we don't even run the AC. So, okay, that's gonna wrap things up tonight. And good timing too, because my little headphone is dying. And there it goes. One ear is back. There's both. So something isn't right again. And I got to get this cable's going in the trash after the show. All right, buddy. Thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Geek News. The show hotline is 619-342-7365. We'll see you back here. If you want to watch Saturday for the new media show, please come on out. And, of course, I'll be back here Monday with $100 cash for someone that became a subscriber of our YouTube channel. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.